Hi there. Thanks for downloading the show. Appreciate you taking a moment to check out Garden Fork Radio. It's an eclectic DIY show. It's me, Eric, and my friends talking about, well, what we think is interesting, and hopefully you will find it interesting as well. A little bit more about me. I have a YouTube channel called Garden Fork, and then I have this podcast, and I also have a website, which is gardenfork.tv. Today, I'm talking with my friend Mike about rain gutter DIY stuff. And we just kind of started the Skype call, and I hit the record button, and then we just went with it. So you're going to be a little bit behind the curtain here of how we start the show. And then Mike just started talking, and I'm like, well, this is the beauty of Garden Fork, which is, hey, let's try this and see what happens. So here we go. All right?
Yeah. Just let me know what you want to do. We're going to just freeball it.
I wanted to talk about rain gutters, and if you have any experience with the different methods of keeping crap out of them, those leaf-free rain gutters.
I don't really. Only what I've seen on advertisements.
Oh, okay.
My rain gutters are free to get stuff in them anytime they want to. In fact, we had a giant bird nest in one of them, and I had to pay these guys to go up there and get it out. I mean, I didn't know what it was, but they showed it to me.
Yeah.
It was sitting right in the downspout. So every time it rained, that one overflowed dramatically. And it was right above where, you know, the trash cans are. So if you're, like, putting trash in the trash can or taking the trash out, you're doing it in Niagara Falls, you know? So that was, but that's really the only thing I know about them. Other thing I know is that 6-inch gutters are better than 4-inch gutters. And, you know, they have to be pitched right and all that. But I don't know anything else about it. But we can, you know, I could tell you all that.
You just did.
are we on the thing already?
Yeah, I just hit the record button just before we started talking about the rain gutters.
Okay, cool.
Well, so thank you for sharing that with everybody.
It's my pleasure.
I actually, for years, I resisted the rain gutters, and I thought it was kind of a scam because it just seemed like the advertisements were a little unsavory, you know? Maybe just because they were really badly shot video advertisements.
Yeah.
And then my neighbor got some, and he's retired, and he won't go up on a ladder anymore, and they worked really well. And I was like, okay, this might be worth it because I'm not a big fan of ladders anymore myself, you know?
It is, yeah.
So I talked to a friend of mine who's a local contractor, and he knows everybody. He's the maintenance guy at a big, it is a retirement home and a rehabilitation. It's this giant facility up there. And I'm like, what do you know about these leaf-free rain gutters? He goes, oh, call this guy. And I'm like, so all I have to do is drop my buddy's name and call the guy. And he's like, okay, well, let me swing by and I'll take a look at what kind of trees you have.
Oh.
And then I'll suggest what kind of leaf-free system you should use.
Oh, that's amazing.
So he's not wedded. He's not in any franchise of a certain kind of leaf-free gutter. He will put on what he thinks is best for the kind of trees you have.
That's pretty cool. Did he explain what the different ones do?
No, it was kind of beautiful because I never met him.
Oh.
We just conversed on the phone, and because during the day I'm not home, I'm at work, you know. And he was like, yeah, I drove by and I think, you know, we'll do these kind. I think it was all a $600, you know.
Gee, that's nothing.
And I was like, well, that's cheaper than a trip to the emergency room with a broken ankle, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's also, even if you don't fall off the ladder, it's kind of a lot of work digging that stuff out of there. It's not fun.
Yeah, it'd get gunked up. And I have a combination of white pines and oak and maple leaves are predominant. The white pines are really high. Well, you've seen them. They're right next to the house there. A couple of them I got cut down, but there's still some that the needles blow onto the roof there. But he put in a mesh material, and I've seen this other kind where It's almost like a piece of straight metal that then wraps around, has a quick right angle. And the idea is the water wraps around and drops into the gutter and the leaves kind of slide off into your yard. But this mesh material has worked really well for a couple of years now. And he said if there's ever a problem, he would come by, and there hasn't been. But
so the leaves don't pile up on top of it?
No.
Huh.
I think there's enough wind, and I'm surprised with the pine needles, but it hasn't been a problem, so I'm good.
Now, he got that kind because on the other kind, the pine needles can slip around the thing and go in?
Yeah, that seemed to be the case. He was pretty not. I mean, he installs rain gutters and roofs for a living.
Oh.
And he's just this dynamo. He's like, you know, I got a crew of four guys doing the roofs, and then I run around and do all the gutters.
Wow, good for him.
And I'm like, okay. You know, he's like the Energizer Bunny of rain gutters. So
that's great.
That was better than having like the guy come with the branded polo shirt and the clipboard. And
yes, I know what you mean.
And those guys are fine. I just kind of liked going through a friend of mine who had had a positive experience with the guy.
Well, he's probably seen every kind of gutter system on Earth. And so he doesn't want to install something if he's going to have to come back.
Yeah. You know? Speaking from the contractor world, recently retired from, I don't know if I retired, I've stopped doing it. The callbacks are the most expensive part of your world, you know?
Right. Cause you can't really, I mean, I guess you can charge them for some things, but you kind of have to be ready to just go there because they think it's your fault. Right.
Yeah. So I have a contractor store. So we painted this beautiful apartment, and you know, we're in the kitchen, we put tape around the ceiling light. It was one of those kind that's right smack on the ceiling, and I was reluctant to drop the fixture because that can pull paint, it could damage the ceiling. So we just put that blue tape around it. We very carefully cut around it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we do this wonderful job. They're very happy with us, and we clean up and we leave. And the guy calls and he's like, well, you left some tape on the ceiling. And I'm like, can't you just get that, you know?
No, he didn't want to get up on the ladder either.
Well, here's the thing. The guy's taller than me.
Oh.
And it's a kitchen ceiling and it's a drop ceiling.
So he could get up on a chair easy, right?
So he wanted to do it. He had me come over there and he's towering over me. And I got a kitchen chair and I stood up on the chair and I just pulled, it was a like 2-inch piece of blue tape, you know, and I took it down and I'm like, all right, there you go. Thank you. You know? And I was just like, I will never work for you again.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's annoying.
So it was just a little odd, but I guess some people are like, well, I paid you to do this and you left a piece of tape. So you need to come back and get it. But the flip side of that from the contractor side is if you do a good job, your client might tell one or two people. If you do a bad job, they'll tell 10.
Uh-huh. That's crazy.
So, all right. So the other thing I wanted to talk about is I'm having a problem with a motion sensor switch in my bathroom. And you might be able to weigh in on this.
Maybe.
I have... I'm big on the bathroom fan always being on when you're in the bathroom, right?
Right.
And I was at my father-in-law's house, who lives in the South, and this might be a code requirement, but as soon as you walk in the room, whether there's a light on or not, the fan turns on because there's a motion sensor switch there. And it stays on for 15 minutes after you leave the room, which I think is to get the moisture out because bathrooms are a high moisture area, you know?
It makes sense.
So I, in our bathroom here, I ran new electric. I put a GFI outlet right next to the sink and I put the motion sensor switch there as well because it was the easiest wall to work with. The other walls are plaster and tile and that cement that's underneath plaster.
Yeah.
And the wall I worked on is a sheetrock wall, a drywall wall. So it's much easier. So
yes.
So I put the motion sensor switch there. By the way, there are cheap motion sensor switches and expensive ones. Get the expensive one.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be able to drive a bathroom fan, which I learned they won't all do because of the amperage draw when it starts up. But the problem now is when I walk by that bathroom and the door is open, the motion sensor switch can see into the hallway and the fan turns on.
So does it have a calibration function? Like, did it come with instructions and everything?
Yeah, the instructions are cryptic, and it has a high sensitivity and low sensitivity. And to toggle between them, you have to press the on switch and then this plastic tab three times. And then this little light is supposed to blink. And you're like, it's like Kabuki theater, you know?
Does it really work, though?
Well, that was the thing, because I think I set it to low sensitivity, but it's still turning on. So my next thought was I put some tape over half of the sensor, the half of the sensor that points toward the door of the bathroom, and it still turns on.
Well, this is not a smart aleck suggestion. This is a real suggestion. What if you closed the door?
There you go.
I mean, you know.
I could put a little spring on the door.
You could, or you just close it every time and just get in the habit of it. I don't really know. I know there's more powerful ones. I was also going to, I thought maybe that the GFCI thing was tripping, or it wasn't working properly because of that. But is that even what powers it?
No, it's wired separately because the bathroom fan is up in the ceiling. So I didn't think I needed to run it through the GFI.
I don't think you do. As a matter of fact, yeah, you might not. You might not.
You know more about the code than I do for that. So
I can't really remember. I don't think everything in the bathroom has to be on it. It's just
everything in the bathroom has to be grounded, and the outlets have to go through the GFI, which we're talking about as a ground fault circuit interrupter, everybody. It's that kind of boxy looking outlet that has some extra buttons on it. It's in your bathroom and your kitchen. And what it does is it allows you, if you plug in your electrical appliance while standing in water, it reduces your chances of being electrocuted.
Yes.
I wouldn't say it eliminates them, but.
So all the outlets have to have that, but I don't know if the lights do, but I don't know if the fan does either, but I don't think it does. But anyway, that's not causing the problem. I don't know. I would just say shut the door until you figure out a better way to do it.
The other thing that I've learned with these is because I have these in other parts of the house, I have one in a closet. So when you open the closet door, the light inside goes on.
Yes.
Which is great. But when you open the door to the closet, there's a wardrobe mirror because it's the coat closet. And the person who's in charge of the house likes to see how they're looking before they walk out the door, which is not me.
I'd rather not know.
Have you seen me? So the motion sensor light is the motion sensor switch is opposite the wardrobe mirror. So if the closet door is left open, even though the motion sensor switch is pointing away from the traffic area, if you walk by and you can see yourself in the mirror, the motion sensor switch turns on.
That makes sense because it sees the mirror motion.
Right. So
that's some Game of Thrones stuff right there.
So in the bathroom, the motion sensor switch is right next to the mirror that's on the cabinet above the sink. So I'm thinking maybe it even sees the motion through in the mirror when you walk in the hallway. So putting tape on the sensor isn't going to help me at all. So I think as your great simple suggestion, the KISS theory of life suggestion is just to close the bathroom door.
I know, right? I mean, it's too bad you can't come up with a fancy technical solution that would be satisfying. But sometimes you just have to do what you got to do, even if it's primitive.
It is a challenge working in this old house because some of the walls are there. Have you run across this in your house where it was a plaster wall and then this kind of 50s cementitious drywall and then regular gypsum drywall all in the same wall?
No, that sounds crazy. You mean the plaster?
The plaster is the original with the lath.
And that's on top?
No, that's the inside. That's the most inside.
They just put drywall of some sort on top of it?
Right. Remember that 50s drywall that was kind of like cement? It was like Duroc.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
And then on top of that is regular gypsum, you know, the kind of chalkboardy, the chalky drywall that we have now.
The modern drywall.
So that's what I face a lot when I work in these old buildings. And putting an electrical outlet in that is a huge pain.
Yeah, because you got to go through three layers. And when you get to the lath, it could ruin the whole project.
Right, because
you can't cut it cleanly. And you don't really know if your anchors are going to be touching that or the plaster or what, you know, right?
What I have found that's helpful is an oscillating tool with a cutting blade on it. Have you ever used one of those?
Huh.
They're usually used for like sanding corners and stuff, but they also make these like 1.5-inch wide blades with different teeth on them, you know, that can be for cutting metal or plastic or wood. The blades are expensive. They burn out very quickly, but when I can just kind of jam that through and it cuts fairly cleanly.
That's nice.
But when you get to the wood, if the blade is dull, it starts to smoke the wood rather than cut it. And that can be a problem in a wall.
So. Yeah. Or like sometimes the blade will grab the wood and wiggle it back and forth.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of like undoing the wall in a bigger way than you want and still doesn't cut it. But yeah, I think there's one plaster wall left in this place.
And yours is a big old Victorian.
Yeah. I just got tired of dealing with it. And, there just came a point where after you and me wired so many snakings and so many putting, you know, I just realized it'd be easier just to gut the whole thing and get the wiring just like you really want it.
And the plumbing.
Cause then all of a sudden you can insulate it too. But I mean, I had some time on my hands and I'm also OCD. So
no,
the average person probably wouldn't have come to that air quotes logical conclusion.
I mean, that is an unfortunate reason, but practical, why people will gut an old house rather than fix the plaster walls.
Yes. Well, I would definitely recommend that if you have the time. Especially, I would recommend it over trying to rewire everything with it not gutted and then getting halfway through that and then deciding to gut it. Because that's kind of what I did. That's not recommended. You know?
Yeah.
You got to make up your mind at the beginning, but knowing what I didn't know what I was getting into at the beginning, so I didn't really have any mind to make up. But if I had it to do over again, I would definitely gut the place first thing and then just go to town on the plumbing and electric and insulation.
Yeah, I'm going to have a one of those energy audits for my house, and because I just read an article somewhere, of course I don't remember where, but we thought that the first thing we should replace are the windows. And this article said, talking to these energy experts and auditors and energy auditors and insulation people, energy efficiency of people, they said you might consider insulating more before you put new windows in. And I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. But you still have to, well, I guess there's different ways to insulate, right? If you don't want to gut the walls, you can drill holes and they blow something in there, don't you?
Right. They blow a cellulose in, which is like basically shredded up newspaper that has a sticky coating on it to keep it from all compacting in the bottom of the wall space, the wall cavity.
Huh.
And then you just have to patch all your walls. If they're drywall walls, it's pretty easy. I mean, but if they're like, I have knotty pine in a lot of the house.
Jesus.
So I was considering pulling clapboard. I could pull for every floor, I have two floors, I could pull three courses of clapboard, and they would, if they were going to do cellulose, I would like actually foam. They could foam from the outside. I thought that would be interesting. Probably not cheap, but.
Probably not, but it's probably better than gutting the place and putting in that other kind of insulation on the rolls.
The bats, yeah. What my friend just had done in his farmhouse, and I found this very interesting, is he wanted the attic insulated. So he wanted them to spray the spray foam on the attic floor, which is essentially the second floor ceiling. So the second floor ceiling floor joists, ceiling joists, which are the floor joists for the attic, because you can stand up in this guy's attic. And the spray foam expert guy came in and said, no, we spray the roof.
Oh.
So the attic is part of the heating envelope.
Huh.
Of the house. And so he said, go ahead and do that. He had a new roof put on. They had, because he needed new shingles anyway. They closed up the soffits, which I thought was interesting. I could be wrong about that. I'm not sure if they closed up the soffit. They would have to put these soffit, plastic soffit vents in, and then they spray foam the whole thing. And we went up there afterward, and it was absolute silence. It was like being in a recording wow. studio, you know?
That's amazing. Well, so when you say closed up the soffits, yeah, the soffits are supposed to be vented, right?
Well, you want cooling air underneath your shingles usually, you know, and the wood that's underneath the shingles, your sheathing, you want to try and cool that in the summer. So in a regular attic, you have these little screened holes right behind the gutter, basically. And then uh-huh. you have a ridge vent at the top, wherever the point of your roof is. They put this plastic mesh that looks like aquarium filter fabric. Huh. Or air conditioning filter fabric. And then they put a shingle over the crown of your roof. It's a they split the shingle across the crown. And that creates just a simple convection. And
yeah.
these guys sprayed in right underneath the roof sheathing. I would think you would have to put in a it's called a contained soffit vent. One's
yeah.
called ProVent is one of the brand names, ProVent. But interesting. But I was just amazed at how much warmer his house was last year, and he said his heating bill had dropped a huge amount.
Yeah, that's great. But I think the other thing about the soffit vents and the ridge vent and those I had these things that they were like these plastic tray looking things.
Yep.
And you staple them. It's to let the air go from the soffit to the ridge vent. And if you don't have that, moisture can collect up in there.
And that's so a bad thing.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. So, well, hopefully that won't happen with his place. But
maybe they did put the soffit vents in. I'll have to the ProVent thing in. I'll have to ask. But I was just blown away by the effectiveness of the spray foam and just how just kind of boom done there. I mean, they were there for a day, and the change in the heating envelope of the house was just tremendous.
Yeah, insulation definitely helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone has left an iTunes review for Garden Fork lately?
I don't know.
Let's
I could.
You could, Mike. Because
you want me to?
Are you a subscriber?
I don't know. I could become one.
you're a co-host. But you could.
I mean, I see your stuff on Instagram all the time.
Yeah.
I don't really know anything about podcasts and stuff.
Yeah.
Should I subscribe to yours? I could.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're on it and you listen to it, but it's really kind of a personal choice. But you could, on iTunes, search for Garden Fork Radio in the podcast area and leave a review. I don't think you have to be subscribed to leave a review. So.
Okay, I could do that. I could definitely do that.
5 stars. Yeah, we don't have any for a while here, so that would be good.
Okay.
The last one is Sweeper Force.
5 stars it is.
Yeah.
You are pre rated at 5 stars from me. I just have to figure out how to do it. So, do people have iTunes on their cell phones?
Yes, but I think you have to go to your desktop or laptop to write a review. I could be wrong okay. about that.
Yeah, I can get on it through my desktop. And I'm also, while I'm on there, I'm going to try to remove these annoying songs I have on my iPhone. I can't get rid of them. And I read up on it. Apparently, you have to do it. You have to sync your iPhone to your desktop and open up iTunes. And I quit reading after that because it sounded like I can't believe I was actually in the computer business at one point.
Yeah, building databases, no less.
Well, yeah, and that whole touch screen thing, I can barely use. You know, Instagram now or anything really.
Well, what's happening with your iPhone is that it's resyncing your, basically it's taking your songs and put them in the iTunes cloud, and whatever device you have iTunes on, it makes the songs available.
I see. Okay.
So you have to go to your home base computer and delete those songs or something like that.
Because every time I get in the car and I have my phone on me,
yeah,
the car starts playing "I Fought the Law and the Law Won." And this happens to me like twice a day at least. And I push the stop button. I'm surprised I haven't broken the touch screen on that thing, because it really makes me kind of angry. I mean, I like that song pretty much. I used to, but not every time you get in the car, you know? So, and also all that U2 stuff. Remember when U2 dumped their album on everybody?
Yes.
And I couldn't figure out how to get rid of that either, and that would come on also. So, you know, maybe I'll do that and give you a good review while I'm up, while I'm in the cloud or wherever it is I'm going to be.
You're going to be in your office upstairs.
Well, I mean, yeah, but, you know, like, that's where my physical body is, but I'll be working in the cloud, won't I?
Yeah.
So, yeah, just so I understand that.
We have 199 reviews. If people would write the 200th.
Okay.
The 200th up to the 210th. That would be great. That would be a great goal here. So
you want me to write 11 of them?
Yeah.
And just pretend to be somebody else every time?
Well, you can write. You don't have to use your real name to write a review, so.
So, yes, that is what you want me to do.
Yeah.
Okay. We're speaking in code here, folks.
All right, so
he's not really telling me to do that.
I think our listeners have gotten to their destination. They probably got to work here. So it's always great to hear from you guys. radio@gardenfork.tv. If you have any experience with rain gutters or spray insulation or fixing your iPhone, we would love to hear from you. Right, Mike?
Yep.
And we actually have an episode that you and I recorded in December and I completely forgot about.
What?
And that is going to be posted next week. So,
oh, great.
Talking about surfing and CrossFit and stuff like that. And you're going to go to a new... Is the new gym... You're going to another CrossFit gym today?
Yeah, but that's kind of a secret.
Oh,
yeah. This is like, you know, this is... it's like high treason and heresy to go to a different one. It's not really, but it could be... You know, it's not really.
All right.
And I'm not going to quit the old one. So everybody just relax. I don't think they care if I quit. Yeah. Anyway, so we'll see.
All right. Well, thanks for your time, sir. And thanks for everyone else's time. radio@gardenfork.tv.
See you, Eric.
Garden Fork Radio's executive producer is Jimmy Gutz of hollowbooks.com. And our music is licensed from uniquetracks.com.